everyone. The following is a direct message production. We're your direct link to your favorite stars.
What's up, everybody? Hello, how you doing? How you feel? Good morning, good evening, whatever time it is, wherever you are. It's your boy, K with the AKA, Mr. Getting It Done, and this is Getting It Done. I'd like to welcome you to our podcast.
Wow. This is definitely a first for me. I have never on this level got an opportunity to perform as we are right now. This is elite level for me, and about as elite as it's gonna get so far in this game. We are just at the top. We are probably already maxed out. Minikai shaking his head. Well, this is a big honor. And with that, I just wanna welcome the motivational speaker, life coach, entrepreneur, multiple successful businessman, and wow, how do I even, this is, what am I gonna say? I'm gonna say one of the top 50 wealthiest men under age 50 is certainly an honor and a privilege for me to have this opportunity to introduce Mr. Ed Milet today.
Great to be here. Thank you. That's an honor. And I got one more year under 50, so.
No! Well, you know what? I might actually be older than you, I feel like.
That's possible.
I've got the gray hair that I'm not even trying to hide at this point.
I'm hiding mine.
You know what? You have so many things to your credit and so much wealth of knowledge and wisdom to share with the viewers and listeners today. I just wanted to be able to pick your brain a little bit, you know, as it is that you are, you know, a leader in the thought movement.
Thank you.
Game right now and top influencer and with so many things with the Max Out project that is definitely on the way of helping a lot of people reach for their better selves. What I'd like to do is I want to get a minute, if I can, to see if I can get you to share a little bit of where you come from and how did you get started before becoming the success that you are.
Okay, first I have to tell you, this is an honor. So ever since Generation Iron, I've been a huge fan of yours, and there's people that say inspiring things and then they're just inspiring people. And you're an inspiring person, and that's far more powerful. Although you do say inspiring things, but you're just an inspiring person. And many, many mornings when I didn't want to get up and go to the gym, I thought about you a ton of times in my life. So, but as far as where I come from kind of a unique place to maybe generate some success, which is I come from like the lower middle. I would say my family's like middle class, lower middle class. Which sometimes I think if you come from a wealthy family, you got all these advantages because you got connections and you can model things and, you know, you kind of get some of that. And then if you come from a poor family, most of my friends come from a more poor family, I think you're moving away from something. You know, you've got this catalyst that you want to change your stage in life. I come from kind of the lower middle, but I come from a good family, dysfunctional. My dad was an alcoholic and drug addict all of my childhood. He got sober when I was 16 years old. So I come from a loving, good family, but we had our stuff, you know, like every family has, divorce or, you know, violence or aggression. So I come from there. No entrepreneurs in my family, no dreamers, my family never went on vacation, not a family that talked about achievement or anything like that. Nothing like that.
In my
family. Pardon me?
So you are the first.
Yeah, I'm the first. I don't even know that I feel like I'm that successful. My dad just passed away a few weeks ago, so just to be able to have some conversations with him about, you know, where my life's gone now that I'm about 50 years old. But Wow. Yeah, I don't even when I started to get going, brother, I have to tell you, because I'm known as sort of an inspirational, whatever speaker, even when I would go to like events or seminars, I'd walk in like, these people are just more excited than me. It's not, I'm not like a naturally, I'm very introverted. I'm not naturally super expressionist, you know, I'm not.
Wait. It's crazy to hear you say this because you have the number one podcast right now,
yeah,
listened to by viewers all over the world. I mean, you know, The Ed Milette show is definitely something that I want to tune into. And everyone else here in the background is excited about, even for me to even be able to have this opportunity to talk with you. So to hear you say what you just said, it's surprising.
Yeah.
It's surprising.
Well, I'm also, you know, I'm a pretty transparent person. Like, I'm very introverted, very shy. Even to this day, I fight it. And I'm also, you know, when you see someone who's in personal development at all, like where they learn these, even for you, I bet you there's some truth to this for you too. When you've built parts of yourself up, like both of us have built our bodies, obviously you to a different extent than I have, when we've built our personalities and our identity. And for me, I had to do that out of a necessity because I came from such a low place of insecurity and lack of confidence.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy K with the AKA Mr. Getting It Done here with our wonderful new podcast, Real Talk. Right now, I'm going to let you know about the wonderful people at Mint Mobile who give us the opportunity to help this thing move along. And the best deal in wireless can only be found on Mint Mobile. That's right. As the first company to sell premium wireless service online, man, Mint Mobile lets you safely order from home and maximize your savings with plans starting as low as just $15 a month. I've been using Mint Mobile. Let me tell you, I'm from Brooklyn. So real talk, I'm looking for a deal. And if you're looking for one, this is the one for you. I'm telling you, you need to go on over there and check this out. MintMobile.com, go on over there with the / getting it done. Let the people know that your boy Kai Green sent you. That's right, go on over there to MintMobile.com/getting it done. Minikai, question: how much do you spend on your mobile bill for your service each month? $3. So Minikai, how about if I told you about a really cool deal by Mint Mobile? I mean, wouldn't you be excited about it if you could spend something like only $15 a month?
What? Only $15?
That's right. $15, just $15. All you got to do is go on over to mintmobile.com/getting it done.
So I grew up with no confidence. So I had to learn, like, I'd read my first Tony Robbins book a million years ago just to be like a functioning human, you know? And so then I became addicted to the growth and addicted to the change. And I liked how it felt to improve myself. But I think a lot of times when you see somebody social media, or they have a podcast, or someone like you who's competed at the highest levels in the world and been successful, you somehow think that they're like that all the time. But for me, I had to get good at this stuff just to be a functioning human, never mind really, really good at it. So hope that gives people hope.
Wow. Wow. You just said something that I didn't even stop and digest. You said your father passed away. My condolences to you.
Thank you.
Being able to deal with hardship like that is a very, very difficult thing for a lot of people to talk about at this time in the holiday season, dealing with the passing. You just said it so quickly, as if you are totally okay. You have dealt with what needed to be dealt with, and you're still in the process of being productive, even just being available for this interview.
Yeah, I'm being productive. I mean, to be honest with you, today I have a very, very busy day. I'm not over it. My dad turned out to be my hero, my best friend. And this is a good lesson for people too, because he was so, didn't have his act together. The turnaround made me, like, my dad's test literally became his testimony. So my dad was sober 34 years when he passed away, but my dad's ultimate test in his life became his life's testimony. And that can happen for a lot of us, the things we're ashamed of, the mistakes we've made, the divorces, the bankruptcies, the failures. Those tests can be your testimony. I'm not through it with my dad, but I would say that what I've learned, even like during COVID with all the people that are suffering right now, you know, when I feel helpless, the way that my way out of that is to be helpful. So when I'm serving people, like today I had a coaching call. You know, I told you who it was off camera right before. If I'm in service, like when I'm helping other people, I feel less helpless. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's hard to do when you're down and you're hurting. You can't eat. You got no money. I've been there lots of times in my life to go, okay, so the solution to this is help other people. What are you talking about, man? Like, I need to, but it alleviates this emotion of helplessness where you go, I'm not helpless. I can help someone else. And that's sort of been the catalyst for me, even with my dad, is, you know, try to serve more people. You know, I'm a screw up. I make mistakes as a man. I'm a sinner, right? But I try to help people. That's sort of my way out of my own pain, is helping other people typically.
Thank you for even being so willing to share as clearly as you just have without, you didn't skip a beat. He's ready to help. You were just talking a little bit about earlier on in your life before the super international success that you know today very, very easily. And you said that you do know difficulty. You said you came from the lower middle. Mm-hmm. If I were a person at a city here, you know, and let's say, you know what, I got my first motivational taste, my first taste of a motivational experience that I felt pretty good about, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm in the process of thinking a little bit more positively about using my power responsibly in an effort to help kind of make sense of my life and maybe see my way over some of the emotional difficulties that you just mentioned, even now. What do you think, what would you say is the first step?
Well, I would say motivation is great but it's like a warm bath. Eventually it's going to wear off, right? And the one thing that you should get from being inspired, there's a difference between motivation and inspiration. Motivation kind of plays to your motives, like let's get rich, let's win an award, let's get a contest, let's get money. That's a motive-based incentive. Inspiration is, the root of that word is to be in spirit. That's something that comes from your heart, that's a calling, that's from your soul. So I would say first, try to pursue inspiration, not just motivation if you can. What's your heart calling you to do? Like all your life, most of you have known you wanted to be somebody. You've known you wanted to make a difference. When you're a little boy or a little girl, there's this little party that's like, I'm supposed to do something great with my life. And you were right. And the older you got, or your parents or kids at school or teachers, or life just starts to happen to us and we begin to believe it less and less. And the one thing I will tell you that I've learned from athletes I've coached to business people to everyday people is that you're never going to exceed your own identity long term. So your identity is like the thoughts, concepts, and beliefs that you hold to be the most true about yourself. It's the way you really see you. And it's like a thermostat sitting on the wall. It sets the temperature of your life. So say happiness or money, just take those two areas. If you're a 75 degreer, right? So if I have a thermostat set at 75 degrees and a bunch of cold air blows in here, that thermostat heats the room up to 75 degrees. So it's not the external stuff that dictates the inside, mm-hmm. right? If it's cold out, if it's hot out, it'll cool the room back down. Mm-hmm. Life's that way. That's why sometimes you got in shape, then you're not. You got a little bit of money, then you're not. You're in a good relationship, then you're not. Why? Because the results started to exceed what you believed you were worth, mm-hmm. and you unconsciously turn the air conditioner back down to get your life back to where you believe it should mm-hmm. be. It seems coincidental. It seems like circumstantial. It's not. So the key is being inspired, but every day working on doing the things that increase that thermostat setting of what you believe you're worth in a relationship, in your body, in your money, in your spirituality. When you increase that thing, that's what I've done to change my life, is my identity. Mm-hmm. Everything else sort of heats it up to that temperature at some point. That's what I believe.
So with saying that, how do you answer the question of what is your power? What does power mean? What does power mean to you in order to
power for me? So everyone has a superpower, by the way. Mm-hmm. We're all born. I'm a Christian, so I believe we're all born in the image of likeness of God. By the way, I also believe in universe and energy and the quantum field. I believe in all of that. Okay. I'm a huge energy guy. So I just happen to believe a creator created it, but I plug into the universe. I meditate. I know about vibrational frequency. I live it. Okay. So I love all that. What I would say is you were born with some superpowers, some gifts. And I think that the coolest part in life is when you figure out what three or four of those gifts are and you use them in the service of other people. Mm. And those gifts are, we don't give ourselves credit for what our gifts are. Like one of your gifts obviously is your discipline and your strength, right? Like there's certain people you meet and you're like, all right, this is obviously strength. But when I've observed you more, I don't even think that's your superpower. I think it's your heart. When I look at you, there's this huge, strong man. But when I've watched you, I was like, this is a good man. Like, this person has empathy for people. He sincerely cares about people. That's a superpower. So your superpower could be your beauty, your humor, your nurturing skills, your concern, your faith, your work ethic, your toughness, your resiliency, your brilliance, your humor. There's all kinds of gifts, your emotional control. You should start to give yourself credit. Maybe it's just that you really care. That's a superpower. Not every human's that way. And the more you go, you know what? I do have this, this, and this. Like, I may not have all that other stuff. And if you think about successful, happy people, you know, they kind of know what their gift is and they use that gift to serve other people. So that's what power to me is. Understanding your gift and using it to serve others.
So power is understanding your gift and using it to serve others. I like that.
I just believe that. And I've kind of figured out what my two or three or four might be. And when I coach people, it's interesting. If you ask the average person, show me five things that are negative about you, they'll be like, oh, shoot, I can give you 55. Bang, 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 right? You go, give me four or five things you're really great at. You watch their eyes look up because they're going to try to recall. You know, I'm okay, but no, man, what are you great at? And they think it has to be that you're like Elon Musk and brilliant, or it's not a real gift, or you got to be able to dunk like LeBron, or you don't really have a gift. That's not, those are superpowers, but so is your like listening ability. So is your like just being present with people. You're like my mom, if you met my mom, she's 5 foot tall, little tiny. You would not, her gift is like, she's, when you're with my mom, you're the only person in the world. You ever be with somebody like that? Like, just check her phone. She's not talking about other people. You're with my mother. You're the most important person. That's a gift, man. Not everybody has that. All my life, when I'd walk in a room, I was the most important person in the world to my mom. That's a superpower. Give yourself credit for that. So there's these little things we don't give ourselves credit for.
When did you discover your superpower?
Good question. I'm probably still discovering them, but I'll tell you, I'll give you a little key. I finally found some mentors who started to kind of point a few of them to me out. So mentors are a big deal. And now, you know, it's like your podcast, my podcast, social media, YouTube. You can now, this is a time that people don't get, you can associate with some of the most influential people in the world for free on a daily basis, and they'd be in your proximity. They can begin to mentor you, right? But for me, because I'm so old, it was pre that time, right? Like, it was, there's no damn internet. There wasn't even a cell phone. But, like, I had coaches, probably like you've had a few, go, hey, you're special. This thing about you, and you're like, I am? You know, like, and then you almost want to live up to what they tell you about you. So I've had enough precious people in my life, and by the way, come along at different stages, say, hey, you're good at that, or hey, I noticed something in you, or, you know, pursue this. So I had, I think over time, it wasn't even always me recognizing, but then after a while, I started to realize humans all have them. And what I love to do is, like, I get in an Uber, drives my wife crazy. We get into an Uber, we're going to be in for a 1 hour. If we're driving out, I want to know everything about this person, because people are a gift. I want to open them up and tell me. Last night we're driving, I got to tell you really quick. This guy picks me up at the airport last night. He's from Syria. Picks me up at the airport, right? I'm from one part of the world. He's from the other part of the world. Here's what I know when I get in the cab. Here's what I know. This man has gifts. He has superpowers. No better, no worse than me. My wife already knows what I'm going to do. I start unraveling it. Turns out this man is from Syria, came here, escaped, house blown up, one kid at Harvard, one at Yale, one's a trial attorney. He drives an Uber at night because he's got a full-time job to pay for the college of the other two. This man loves his family so much. He's a remarkable human, right? Like, a remarkable human. But most people get an Uber, don't talk to the dude. No idea what you just missed out on, this beautiful man. It was a gift to me to get to know him. So to me, that's what life's about. But for me, it is.
The interpersonal skills, though, to turn around and do that, some people would say, hey, well, you know what, I'm not really that people person oriented. But what does that mean then? When I get an opportunity to hear someone as decorated and as developed as you are, and myself recognizing that I want or aspire in some way to achieve some of the success and opportunity that you've been able to create in your life. If I'm listening to this podcast, this moment, and I hear this, so what, I should now talk to Uber drivers? Does that mean I need to build a newfound sense of people skills?
I think you should build a newfound sense of interest in humans.
Interesting.
And so like, here's what's ironic. Let's say you're listening to this, you're an introvert, which I am. I flipped it at my advantage. So the last thing you're going to get me doing is talking about myself or being gregarious, you know, or telling a bunch of jokes in a room or wanting to be the center of attention. It's weird that I speak on these big old stages full of all these, because I don't want to be the center of attention. So what did I do? Rather than try to change this about me where I'm the center of attention, I make the other person the center of attention. It takes the camera off me completely. Plus, people would rather talk about themselves than hear about you. So there's two types of people in life, I found out, and both are okay. One type of person walks in the room and goes, here I am. And the other person walks in the room and goes, there you are. And I've been the person who walks into a room and I go, there you are. And then you're not looking at me, but I get to learn about you. So it doesn't take a lot of people skills to say, hey, here's my favorite line when I meet people. If I'm playing on a golf course, I'm training at the gym, I'm in an Uber. What's your story? Tell me your story. And people love to tell you their story. And that's it. And then the conversation starts. I've worked out with so many dudes in my life that later will tell me, hey, man, I really like Ed Mylett. And they're like, yeah, do you know what he does? No, I got no idea. Because we spent the whole hour training talking about them, not me. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's what humans want. They want to be seen. They want to belong. They want to be recognized. And I love recognizing people. I see you. This guy's driving his Uber every single night. He's from another country. You can just picture his life, right? This quiet man living a great life. No one ever sees this man. They see you. They see me. This guy just wants to be seen. You know, when we're done, we're shutting the door, and I said, hey, you're a good man, man. Like, you're a really good man. He got all water in his eyes, man. He's like, thank you. I said, I mean it. What a remarkable father you are. Wow. You inspired me, brother. He's like, thank you. That was a great gift he gave me that night. So that's motivation and inspiration to me, is something like that.
What about the person that's hearing this moment? And they're saying, well, you know, that sounds like something that's not so hard to do. Maybe I can develop a genuine interest in finding out someone else's story. Maybe it wouldn't hurt me to ask, you know, but how does that become the road or the multiple step program into seeing my larger potential realized, the success that I'm looking for to develop myself? Mm-hmm. How do I make that work?
I think it's a combination of things. And by the way, I don't have the answer to everything, but I'm gonna give you one of my answers, one of my little, you know, solutions.
Okay.
Is that I combine my interests in other people. And then I also know this, that identity thing we talked about earlier, you're not going to get out of life any more than you believe you deserve, period. You're just never going to. And so for me, because I don't have this, I wasn't born with this real high level of self-confidence, I started to attach my worth to what I did. That, not in an unhealthy way either. Let me tell you what I mean. I have this mantra of one more, one more. So if I'm on the treadmill and it's 45 minutes, I never do 45. I do one more, 46 minutes. If it's a set of 10, I do 11. If it's 8 phone calls a day, I do 9. If it's 20 minutes on the phone with my mom, I go one more minute. I do one more of everything, one more email, one more page of a book I read, one more, one more, one more. If people work 5 days a week, I work one more. And so when I started to do things other people weren't willing to do, I started to trick myself into believing I get to get things other people won't have. You've done exactly the same thing, Kai. There became a point when you were training where you took confidence that you were doing. I get fired up about this because I watch you. You were doing stuff other people weren't willing to do. And this begins to transform how we feel about ourselves, because I'm that guy who does one more. I may not be the biggest, the fastest, the strongest. I might have the best genetics. I might have the most connections, but I do one more, man. That's who I am. You don't always do one more. So eventually I'm going to get you. When you flinch, when you get weak, when you check out, when you go on vacation, I got one more. I'm going to blow your doors off eventually, or at least I'm going to blow my doors off of what I'm capable of. And so when you combine this, I love other people. I care about other people, and I do one more. You begin over time to separate yourself, not only from other people, but you separate yourself from who you used to believe you were, because you begin to behave differently. Self-confidence is really simple. It's the process of keeping the promises you make to you. If you keep the promises you make to you, you will transform your self-confidence. When I meet people that don't have self-confidence, I know this person has consistently not kept promises they make to them. They start a workout, they don't keep it. They start a business, they don't finish it. They start a relationship, they don't do it. They start a nutritional plan, they don't keep it. You show me somebody who keeps the promises they make to themselves, little ones, like I'm getting up at 5:30, and you get up at 5:30. I'm making my bed. This sounds dumb, right? I'm telling you, I'm gonna shave, whatever it is. You do the things you tell yourself you're willing to do, even small ones, and those are the building blocks of beginning to develop self-confidence. And you show me a human being who knows their gifts, serves other people with them, genuinely cares about other people, works on their identity and their self-confidence, I'll show you somebody who's probably got a pretty good formula of creating some change in their life, no matter what area it's in.
Wow. Wow. This is so, man, confidence comes from building. Keep the promises that you make to yourself. I just got this from you in this moment, and I feel very, 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 very uplifted and inspired, but more importantly, encouraged to recognize some things that I can do in an effort to reach for that maxed out potential. I wanted to very, very briefly, can you let people know how they can find out more information about the maxed out project you have?
You can go to Instagram at Ed Mylett, EDMYLETT. I've got a podcast on iTunes. It's the Ed Mylett Show. I got a YouTube channel. All my stuff's free. And so I'm just here to serve you. I'm really blessed. I said the first half of my life with great mentors, I want to spend the second half of my life, you know, paying it forward. And, you know, I'm a product of just making lots of mistakes. I could just save you a bunch of time. I've made about every damn mistake most of you are going to make. I'm just a man, right? I'm not anything special. I'm not. But what I do try to do is not make the same mistakes two different times. And I hope that I give some people a little bit of hope. Like when I watched you, there's something about you that was so inspiring. And it's stuck with me. Like when I got asked to do the show, I get asked to do lots of shows. I don't do that many. And I did, because I like you literally made an impact on me. Like, and I said this earlier, what if your example makes an impact on somebody? And you could be listening to this, you're a school teacher, like no one's gonna see me on Generation Iron and millions of people. Oh yeah, they do. Most things in life are caught, not taught. People catch these things when they're around you. They see them. When you're, I bet there's been dudes you've trained with where there was just early in your life, they weren't like, hey, here's exactly what I do. You watch the way they attack their workout. They're just different. You caught it. Most things with my children, I can sit them down and go, okay, Max, you got to do this, this, and this. He's catching it. He sees his dad. He sees what I do, right? Your example's infectious. And the other thing I just want to tell everybody, just because it's COVID, this is hard to accept, really hard. But everything in your life is happening for you and not to you. And I've been saying this for 25 years. What if you could believe that it's happening for me? You go, well, there's just extreme examples. Your dad had cancer, Ed, and he just died. Let me tell you one thing. My dad had cancer for 9 years. Do you know the blessing of that? Man, I'm going to tell you something. Before my dad had cancer, if I were really busy, the phone would ring. I'd be like, all right, I'll call dad back. Right? Now he's got cancer. Dad calls. Hey, dad, priority. When he's at the house, I would think, I wonder how many more conversations I'm going to have with my dad. And so take this one more thing that I said earlier and flip it on its ass for a minute. What if I took away your one more? Do you know, think about this. I can't have one more conversation with you. You know how important one more is? Do you know what I would give you for one more talk with my dad? I'd give you most of my damn money if I could have one more conversation with my dad. So when you do one more, not only is it productive, but it's when you have the, what about a relationship you've lost? What would you give for one more date to try to fix that thing? These one mores are huge, right? And so my dad's cancer was a blessing. My dad's passing was a blessing for me. Everything that bothers me pretty much doesn't bother me right now. Stuff that, see, when I was with my father when he passed, guys. So I was holding his hand. You know what my dad wasn't worried about then? What people thought about him. You know, what's going on in the world that he can't control or change? Who's getting, my dad's a pretty liberal dude, but you know, who's getting elected president? Who's, you know what he worried about, man? His family, how he lived his life. Was he a good man? Like, I get emotional saying it. It's like, there's lots of blessings that happened for us, not to us. And so if you could just begin to believe that, and you always later in life, don't you always go, yeah, that happened for me. That breakup was horrible, but man, it was good. Right? Hindsight will always tell you that.
Wow. Mm. Wow. Wow. With that application of what you just said, that idea, I can see how you could make every situation a benefit.
Yes.
An opportunity to reflect and to possibly grow from.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that is, it turns everything into an opportunity to grow. And it doesn't allow you to sit here as and feel like a victim.
Well, I know I'm talking a lot because I'm so passionate about your audience and you, but, and I know that's hard. Listen, when my dad got cancer, I'm like, this is happening for me and my dad, his suffering, chemotherapy, come on. I'm not suggesting there are negative things that take place. Mm-hmm. I'm saying in the overall scheme of the universe that this is happening for me. And I think the thing I would say to everybody is, what if you could just start to ask yourself a question when adversity hits? How is this happening for me? How can I handle this in such a way that it does happen for me short or long term? And that is that opportunity for growth, right? Because I'm not saying there isn't pain in life. I'm not saying COVID is happening for us, not to us. Seems pretty bad, man. Well, what have been the good things? Well, the whole consciousness reset of the world. Go back to pre-COVID. Everything was materialism. Everything was achievement. Everything was social media. There's been people are closer to their families if they can. Family means more to them. The world's been slowed down a little bit. I'm not saying there hasn't been horrible things happen with COVID, but overall, I think the world just needed a reset. Just everything happens for us, not to us. And eventually that's always revealed. So if you can have hindsight vision in the present tense, your life will be much more manageable and blissful than if you don't. That's all I'm saying.
How much of that is, I can recall hearing someone say something like, well, that's a Buddhist approach to things. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that way as you say this, or do you feel like it's just
maybe? It's probably the meditator part of me, but I'll go to this. Maybe some of you come from an alcoholic or drug family like I do.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a little boy. My dad would not come home some nights. But let me tell you what happened. I'm 4 years old. And my dad would tell me when he would leave, if he knew he was going to go drink, go, hey, I had three little sisters. You're the man of the house. You watch over your mom and your sisters while I'm gone. Cause he kind of knew he was going to go.
Mm.
But when he would come home, I'm a 4 year old little boy. When my dad would open the front door, you know what I would do immediately? I would read him. Is it drunk dad, mad dad, or is it sober, happy dad? Do I need to protect my sisters and my mom from him? What did that do? You go, that's horrible. You were a little boy. You know what it did? Now that I'm a grown man, you know what I do for a living mainly? Read people.
Mm-hmm.
Be present with people. At 4 years old, this drunk father of mine, that happened for me to be the person who looks at other people, who reads them, who's present with them, right? I have sympathy for people and empathy for people like Coach that have challenges and things they're ashamed of because I had a father who had it. I got into coaching, Kai, because my dad came home from an AA meeting, his first meeting. I was living at home on his couch, and he goes, I got you a job. go. I'm like, what is it? He goes, I don't know. Some dude named Tim got you this job and you're eating out of my fridge. So go to this job. And I go, and it's an orphanage for boys called McKinley Home for Boys. I'm 22 years old. I just got released from playing professional baseball. I walk in this cottage. It's cottage eight. There's 10 boys. All my boys were orphans or molested by their parents. I became their father, big brother. That was my first job out of college, right? Do you know that I don't get that job if my dad's not a drunk and gets sober? And I'm no good at the job if I can't connect with these boys who are going through tremendous dysfunction in their homes. But because I came from that home, I could connect with them. And that was the beginning of me coaching people. I was coaching 8- and 10-year-olds. That's led to a podcast with millions of people and speaking around the world. So my dad's alcoholism happened for me. I just didn't figure it out till I was like 40 or 50. So the worst things are happening for you, not to you.
Whoa, you have just blown me away. They're rushing me to get off. I know you have a busy schedule, but that story, 2 seconds. I mean, it probably didn't take you more than a minute to say, but wow, there's so much wealth and power in wow, you are a good man.
Thank you.
Really, really. Wow.
You're wonderful. Thank
wow.
you.
Wow. So your first. Okay. That is something that is very near and dear to my heart. Talking with young men, being a part of that experience, just to be able to expose your vulnerability and see that as a strength and come to terms with realizing the superpower that's built inside of that through your personal living experience. Wow.
Thank you.
Brother, thank you so much. They are like rushing me off, but this is like, you are the genuine article. You are the real deal. You have the message that the people need to hear a lot more of.
My
goodness.
My pleasure. Thank you.
On that note, I think Kristen was trying to get us off of here, but man, I definitely want to. I want to continue this journey. I'm on board with you and your influence. This is you've encouraged me and inspired me in ways that I will struggle to articulate in this moment. But in real talk, I have to thank you right now.
Thank you. Blessing is mine.
This is definitely a blessing.
Listen, I need you to do me a favor. Leave your boy a review. That's right. Check me out on Apple Podcasts. Make sure you leave a comment. Say something nice. Say something not nice. Well, you definitely want to be responsible with what you say because it's your responsibility to use your power wisely. Anyway, but make sure you leave a comment. I'm going to make sure that I read all the comments, questions and concerns. Getting it done with your boy K with the AKA Mr. Getting It Done. Until next time, let's keep it positive. Let's keep encouraging each other. Peace.